All right, let's begin by taking our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of 3 John. I do want to clarify something. Victoria had her baby, Rebecca had her baby. They both had C-sections. And I didn't know this, because I don't know much about that stuff, but that is considered a major surgery. And they're not supposed to be out and around for about 3 weeks, they say, because of the surgery, not because of the baby. So, but Rebecca's doing well. And Victoria had her baby Monday the 2nd. They didn't want it on the 1st because of the Ides of March. Anybody know about that? Some Roman thing. Real bad luck. You know about that? Oh, the Ides of March are March 15th? Huh. They didn't want it on March the 1st, so I don't know why. That's your birthday? Bad luck. Lifetime of bad luck, Ken. All right, but yeah, she's getting better, and Victoria, you pray for her. They had a baby boy named Weston. So they got Whitney and Weston now, and it's exciting to see their family growing. Amen. And praise the Lord. All right. I want to talk about some things serious tonight, some things not so serious. And I hope you'll have the discernment to know the difference between the two. But I do want to talk about our health tonight, and I got about three subjects I want to hit. It says here in 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2, Beloved, it says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. This is the aged apostle John talking to the children that he has birthed in the faith who've come to know the Lord, and their souls were prospering. Now, whenever you see the word soul in the Bible, associate that with the spiritual realm. They were prospering spiritually. Isn't that wonderful? That's a great testimony. And now he says, I wish that you would also prosper in the physical realm as you are prospering in the spiritual realm. That's basically what he's saying here. It's his wish. It's not necessarily a promise. We are not promised to have health, wealth, and prosperity in this life. It may happen. It usually happens. That usually coming to know Christ as your Savior, at least in America, helps you to get things in order, and you end up enjoying better health and wealth and prosperity usually. In other countries, you usually end up going to jail. And, communist countries and socialist countries are very anti-Christian and punish people, and sometimes their lives become much, much worse when they come to know the Lord as their Savior. So we're blessed to live in this country, health is something that the Scriptures does talk about as a wish, and I wish, too, that everyone in our church was healthy. And, of course, unless you've been living in a cave lately, you cannot get away from the fact that there is so much talk today about the coronavirus on television, radio, newspapers, everything's about that. And I don't want to make light of it, and I don't want to make too much out of it or anything. But if you could turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 24, as Jesus was talking about prophecies regarding the last days, he included this word in verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse or many places. Notice the word pestilences is in the plural. That means different types of fast spreading diseases or plagues or moraines. It even refers to moraines, which are diseases that affect animals and cattle. As I was studying the coronavirus, it was interesting to note that there are many strains of the coronavirus that are circulating in animals that have yet to infect humans. So that kind of lines right up with Scripture here. But we need to understand that there's going to be some health problems in the last days, because everything Jesus said comes to pass. Everything he says is true, and he includes the word pestilences here in Matthew, and I believe once over in the book of Mark, plural form of diseases, viruses, germs, those types of things that are circulating. As of yesterday, there was 106,065 cases of coronavirus in the world, and 3,590 deaths as of yesterday. That's about 3.4% of those that have acquired this virus who have died. 60,174 have already recovered, which is 56.7%. There's been a great recovery rate. In America, there have been 400 cases of coronavirus. Again, this is as of yesterday, which would be March 7th, 2020, and 19 deaths. So in America, that's about 0.4% who have gotten the disease, who have died in this country. And we ought to be very grateful for the country we live in. And let me say this, the cleanliness of this country. There's an old saying that godliness and about godliness and cleanliness going together, and that is true. When you and I become believers in Jesus Christ, we develop a tremendous respect for the body, because we are taught in the scriptures that the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and that we should not defile the temple of God. And many times after conversion, a person begins to treat their body with much more respect than they did before they were converted. I'm not talking about you that grew up in Christianity, but I'm talking about a lot of people who get saved out of the world and have been quite involved in drugs and alcohol and promiscuous lifestyles and even their eating habits. A lot of that changes oftentimes in the believer when they are saved, and you begin to have a respect, because you realize that the scripture says that we ought to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 10. And so we want to glorify God in our bodies, and so we tend to take care of them more after we're saved, because we realize they belong to the Lord. My message to you, or one of my messages to you tonight, is don't be fearful. Don't be fearful. The Lord said regarding the last times, whenever he talked about prophecies, he said, be ye not troubled and be not terrified. Don't be troubled. Don't be terrified. Don't live in fear. Don't let these things stop you from functioning as a child of God and functioning in this world. We can see this. Maybe it'll become an epidemic around the world, but it's starting to become a pandemic. You know, Keller, in his great book on the that he wrote about a shepherd's look at the 23rd Psalm, some of you are familiar with that book, he, of course, compares you and I, and the Bible compares you and I to sheep, to sheep. And one of the things he brought out in his book is that when one sheep is spooked, they're all spooked. When one sheep starts running for no reason at all the sheep start running for no reason at all. Not one of them stands up and says, hey, why are we running? Why are we spooked? Why are we scattering? If one runs over a cliff, they all run over a cliff. If one burns in a barn, they all burn in a barn. That happened over here in Evans, where a barn burned down, and there was all these charred sheep standing up in a row, dead, like burnt marshmallows. They didn't try to get away. They didn't try to escape. They didn't have any defense mechanisms or anything to say, hey, I got to get out of here. A horse or a cow, he'll kick and scream and do everything he can to try to get out of that building, but the sheep just stay there. And so the Bible says we're like sheep. If one gets spooked, we all get spooked. And that's what's happening today with this coronavirus. Man, people are getting spooked, and man, everyone's getting spooked. I went to Dollar General Saturday, Did I mention this? I went to Dollar General to try to buy hand sanitizer for the new church in Perrysburg. I just thought, yeah, you know, a few last-minute details before we open up. We'll probably need some hand sanitizer there. They didn't have any. Whole shelf was just empty. There wasn't any hand sanitizer. There wasn't any Clorox wipes or nothing. They were gone. And then I go down to Family Dollar. I say, well, Dollar General in North Collins. I said, well, I'll go down and stop at Family Dollar General and Dollar in Gowanda. Gone. And the lady kind of looked at me like, are you kidding me? Do you really expect to find that here? And people are spooked. It's kind of like if they say, we're going to have a blizzard. And, man, there's just a run on food and drink and everything, and they last maybe a day or two. And everybody's got to stock up like they're going to be, you know, housebound for a month or something. Human beings are like sheep. They get spooked easily by what they hear, what they see around them. But the Bible says in Psalm 34 and verse number 4, it says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. One of the things God does is not only delivers us from our sins and the penalty of sins, he can deliver us from all of our fears. All of our fears. Now, it's okay to have rational fears. Those things are wise. Those things are healthy. I'm not going to stand in front of a CSX train coming down the track at 80 miles an hour and say, I'm not afraid of you, stop. I'm not going to do that. Or I'm not going to jump out of an airplane without a parachute. Say, I'm not afraid of gravity. No, it's okay to have rational fears. But we have a lot of irrational fears. We live in a fearful society who hear stories like this. Did you know that the flu kills 10,000 Americans every winter? The flu. And what is the flu? Viruses. It's about 200 different viruses that cause the flu. It's just like the coronavirus. There's 200 viruses that cause flus, and they take a chance with these flu vaccines that they're going to pick the right strain for that year, and they inoculate people with that. Who have these fears, or maybe they just believe in it, whatever. That's your own personal liberty, what you do there. But we have flu every year. 10,000. We had a poor 11-year-old boy up the road die this year. Right up the road here. 11 years old. Got the flu and died. Healthy kid. Athletic kid. Oh, it's a terrible thing. And the coronavirus has killed 19 this winter. And the flu has killed 10,000. Now, as I was saying, it's okay to have rational fears, but we should not have irrational fears of things like germs. And there's a lot of fear of germs, germophobia. And it has resulted in a lot of obsessive compulsive disorder. People washing their hands ceaselessly, people avoiding other human beings, and people who basically quit living because they may have some contact with germs. And I'm serious, there are some people that go to those extremes, but germs are everywhere, folks. All right, you're not going to escape them. They're in all the stores you go to. They're all the restaurants and the schools and the universities and wherever you go to your job, your business, or whatever factory you may work in or whatever. There's germs everywhere. Germs everywhere, folks. And this thing comes down to faith. It really does. There's some things I'll give you that are practical things to help you, but it comes down to faith. And I remember the mayor out in Las Vegas. People said, this was years ago, they said, you ought to run for mayor, you ought to run for mayor, you ought to run for mayor. But he was germophobic. And he knew that if he ran for mayor, he'd have to shake everybody's hand and kiss all the babies. And so he got over his germophobic fear, that's the same thing, but, and he started kissing all the babies and shaking all the hands. He says, I was as healthy as I've ever been, and he became the mayor of Las Vegas. And, what are you going to do? You're going to stop. You're going to stop living. You're going to be stopped dead in your tracks because there's some germs. You know, it's one of the most germ-free places in the world. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know why that is? Because often germs cannot last on their own for over 24 hours. They just die. I mean, if I get some germs on the pulpit here, you come back Wednesday, they're all gone. They're gone. And seeing we don't use church as much, they kind of sanitize, the buildings kind of sanitize themselves. So if you're germophobic and you're watching this or something, or hearing this sometime, go to church. Go to church. That's one of the most germ-free places you could possibly go, is to church. But here's some advice, okay? Number one, or A, wash your hands. I'm talking about health right now. I got three subjects tonight. Health, wash your hands. I mean, we got to wash our hands, and wash your hands like a doctor washes hands. Don't go like this. All right, go like that. Get in between your fingers. Do it for 20 minutes, they say. Or 20 seconds, 20 seconds. That would be obsessive. All right, 20 seconds. Wash your hands for 20 seconds. I mean, really get them, wash them, and that's good enough. Isn't it amazing? The Bible, as far back as the book of Leviticus, talks about running water when it comes to health standards. And we didn't discover that. Man didn't discover that till the 1800s. They were going around from bed to bed in the hospitals in the 1800s with basins of water. They used on this person, and now they're going to wash up this person, this person, this person. And the Bible says to wash under running water. Isn't that something? That's a good health law that God has given us. So wash your hands often. And if there's nothing available to wash your hands in, then you can use the hand sanitizer also. Dr. Linus Pauling, back in 1970, wrote a book called Vitamin C and the Common Cold. This guy was a genius. He was a chemistry expert. He won two Nobel Peace Prizes on his own. Nobody has ever done that in history. But then the whole science world turned against him, not the whole science world, but a whole bunch of them turned against him and called him a quack because he wrote a book called Vitamin C and the Common Cold. And there is no consensus in the scientific community. They pretend there is, but there isn't. Scientists are divided as much as politicians are. Scientists are divided as much as religion is. Science is divided as much as politics. There's no consensus, but there's some of them that have the microphones and have the newspapers, and they sound like they're the majority. And they turn Pauling into a quack. Well, 20 years now after his death, he lived to be 93, 20 years after his death, so many in the scientific community that are doing the unbiased experiments are saying, you know, vitamin C really, really helps in fighting off the common cold, and beyond that, things it helps in the prevention of cancer and some cancers and stuff. It's just the evidence is just there that vitamin C is a vitamin that greatly helps people fight off colds, and it builds a person's resistance up to germs and viruses and bacterias and other things. I was given that book by my dad it came out in 1970, and I can remember even in high school, I did a oral, you know, when you have to do those oral reports, I did one on vitamin C and the common cold, and I based it on his book. But I forgot all about the book. My dad has been a vitamin C junkie all of his life. But I forgot about the book, and I forgot about the practice of it, and it just seems like I was getting sick constantly, and this is just anecdotal. This is just me. This is not scientific or anything. I don't give medical advice. But vitamin C is water-soluble. It passes through the body, whatever is not used, and after I got fixed up by the doctor 2.5 years ago from my H. pylori bacteria in my stomach, they went down in my stomach and they took a biopsy off the stomach walls, off my stomach walls, and they said, Mr. Cole, you are loaded with this bacteria. And I thought it was GERD. I thought it was a hiatal hernia. And my wife remembers I was sleeping on my knees, bent over the couch, and I just couldn't get comfortable. And this went on for years. And I tried not to make a big thing out of it, but I was so sick, throwing up. And he said, you know, we have these antibiotics for this bacteria, and if you take this cocktail of this antibiotic, this one, and take it for so many days, he says 99.6% of the time it heals the person. They don't have the problem anymore, and sure enough, voila. I was healed of that 2.5 years ago. And at the same time, I began to take these doses of approximately 2,000 to 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C every day, and I could get sick this week, but boy, I'll tell you what, I have been able to avoid the common cold and the flu at least for 2.5 years, and that has been a blessing to me personally. It's just an experiment I've been doing with myself. It might work for you. That's why I'm just saying it might work for you. To get yourself some vitamin C at the drugstore, at Walmart or something, and try taking 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 milligrams a day religiously. I've done this religiously for 2.5 years, and it has helped me, it seems, to fend off these things. And the few times I have gotten a cold or something, the duration of it has been shorter, and the cold has been milder. Now, again, I'm not giving you facts here. I'm just giving you something about myself that you might want to consider getting on some vitamin C. Our bodies no longer produce vitamin C. Animals in their bodies produce their own vitamin C. But our bodies have just taken some hits over the years through the gene pool, genetics being corrupted, that we don't produce it anymore in our bodies, and you have to supplement your body with either natural sources of vitamin C, like strawberries and stuff like that, which we don't eat, raw fruits, raw vegetables, those type things, or supplement with a pill or something. But I want you to think about that, and maybe Google Dr. Linus Pauling and some of his studies, and there's still people that call him quacks. Keep in mind, too, that no matter what is good for us, I hate to say it, there's an extremely powerful and rich pharmaceutical companies out there. And I thank God for so many good pharmaceuticals. They obviously help me. And I'm not saying these people are evil, but that's, you know, it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. And so there's some out there that if you eat a salad, they'll say you're a quack. You know, it's just, you just got to get around some of these people and just got to say, well, what did God do? You know, I'm in Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, the first chapter, he says, eat fruits and vegetables and nuts. That's what it says in the first chapter of the Bible. And God intended for Adam and Eve to live forever. And so we need to eat wisely. We need to wash our hands. We need to make sure if there's any vitamin you're going to take. And I know, did you ever see those pills aisles in the stores? You get so confused as a termite in a yo-yo looking at all those things. You're like, whoa, I got to have this. And you got to figure that out. But vitamin C is one that really happens. No sugar, no snacks, no seconds. Boy, that's cruel. It's impossible to avoid sugar. But this white refined sugar is toxic. It's been bleached and all kinds of things. There are natural sugars in vegetables and fruits and so on that we can eat, that our body can assimilate and use the way God planned them. But boy, this white sugar. Folks, listen, you know, and I'm not trying to be Dr. Killjoy tonight, but your average can of pop has about 11 teaspoons of sugar in it. White refined sugar. Now, that's about enough that's going to blow out your pancreas eventually. As hard as that thing works, it's going to come to the point where it's going to say no more. And, boy, I'll tell you something. We are a white sugar-addicted country. Now, a man who lost 100 pounds once and has kept it off for 20 years told me this was the formula he used, no sugar, no snacks, no seconds. And he lost 100 pounds. He's kept it off for over 20 years. The Bible is a great book on health, and I'm not going to get into that tonight because I got two more points here. But in Isaiah 55 and verse number 2, the scripture says this, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Do you hear what the Lord says through the prophet? Hearken diligently. That means listen very, very closely to me. Eat ye that which is good. I'm grateful for a wife that likes to make these salads with about 10 ingredients in them. And I get them a lot, almost every day. That's good stuff. Takes work, but it's good stuff. And I'm not some model of health, that's for sure. But no sugar, no snacks, no seconds. The healthiest country, one of those, I forget where it was, up Norwegian or something like that. They eat till they feel 80% full and then they stop. They have no seconds. They don't stuff themselves to the gills and then go around for a second plate. And there's some good advice there. Our health should be better than the health of the lost. It really should. It should be better than the health of the lost. And I want to encourage you to rediscover some good healthy practices and watch out what you're drinking. Boy, that sugar will assimilate into your body real quickly. And, watch out even for some of these bottled drinks. They look really healthy, but they're just fruit juices or fruit cocktails, which is a bunch of colored water and a lot of sugar added to them, or high fructose corn syrup. Try to find some 100% natural juices, some good water, those type things to drink. And I just wish you good health. Number two tonight is rest. Rest. We do not rest well in our country today because of the distractions that we have. There are people staying up way too late watching television, playing video games, and who knows what all they're looking at on internet sites. And, Pastor Seth told me a story of a dear man who just got addicted to video games. And he was a doctor, and he just got up and started playing video games all night and sometimes till 2 or 4 in the morning. And then his marriage fell apart, his family fell apart, his practice fell apart because of video games. Now listen to this. The Bible says in Psalm 127 in verse number 2, "It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." It's vain to get up real early, to stay up real late, and think that you're going to function. That is not God's plan, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. There's a great study in the scriptures, believe it or not, on sleep. In Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 12, "The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep." Some people wish they were rich, but those riches tend to keep people up at night all the time worrying about their income. And the sleep of a laboring man, just work hard all day and then crash. Go to bed and see what God will do. In Psalm 3 and verse 5, it says, "I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me." That's why we should say thank you, Lord, every morning when we get up. Thank you for sustaining me through sleep. Psalm 4 and verse 8, I love this verse. "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety." Now, maybe the world's going to lose sleep over the coronavirus, But the Bible says, I will lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell safely. If I get the coronavirus and die, don't feel bad for me. I'm with the Lord. To depart and be with Christ is far better. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To live as Christ, to die as gain. It's a wonderful thing. But I'm not going to be stupid either. I'm going to try to take care of myself. But if you can, and by the way, going back to that sugar, when you go down to the CDC in Atlanta, Georgia, the Center for Disease Control, when they want to keep germs and viruses and bacteria alive, they put it in cultures of sucrose. Sugar keeps it alive. And sugar produces a fertile field in your body, if you're loaded with sugar, that attracts viruses, germs, and bacteria and helps them to thrive inside of us. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, if we'll pray about everything, God will give us peace. And we just read earlier, I will lay me down in peace and sleep. Are you a praying man? Are you a praying woman? Are you praying about everything? Did you ever think, I know this sounds funny, but boy, I've probably done it 1,000 times. Did you ever think to say, Lord, keep me away from germs and viruses and bacterias and colds and flus and fevers. Please put a hedge of protection around me and protect me and my kids. And did you ever think of doing that? Why not? We ought to pray about everything. In James chapter 1, chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, is any among you afflicted, let him pray. So if you do get the coronavirus, pray. Pray for healing. If you get the flu, pray for healing. If you, whatever else it is that you may contract, pray for healing. And if it be God's will, he'll heal you. If not, he'll give you the grace to sustain you through whatever it is you need to bear. So we've talked about health tonight. We've talked about rest. And just some things we can do to be healthier, some things we can do to have better rest. And that thing about rest, man, it is just affecting behavior today. And it's not just our young people. My wife and I saw some kind of a commercial on a TV once, and they said you could download an app that would have 9,000 video games. First of all, I didn't know there was that many video games. Why anybody would need 9,000 video games, I don't know. But it is such an addiction today, and these addictions to smartphones and internet sites and movies and sports and so on, and these things can rob you of the sleep that'll help you be healthy. Really can. Wear you down. But last of all, I want to talk about something that concerns me more than the coronavirus or the flu. And this disease affects millions and millions of people. And absolutely nobody is doing anything about it. It's called Morbus Sabbaticus. Morbus Sabbaticus. What is Morbus Sabbaticus? Morbus Sabbaticus is a disease that has affected millions of people for the last 2,000 years in America and across Europe and all over the world. It is an affliction that affects millions every Sunday morning at around 6 or 7 or 8 a.m. and continues till about noon. It usually disappears by Sunday afternoon, but flares up in the carrier late Sunday afternoon and often on Wednesday evenings. Other than that, it lays dormant enabling the infected to work all week and spend quality, healthy time with the family or in recreation the rest of the week. Morbus sabbaticus never affects those who are traveling or who are on vacation, just when they're home. It has been around for thousands of years, yet despite it being a very real condition, the government has yet to address or spend one dime in research for a cause or a cure or a vaccination. If a country could eradicate morbus sabbaticus, what a revival that country would have. But there seems to be no interest in addressing this Sunday morning sickness. Morbus sabbaticus affects every age. It is indiscriminate. It prevails among the rich as well as the poor. No ethnic group has been able to escape it. It is found in every nation on earth where Christianity has spread. The recovery rate of morbus sabbaticus is about 1 to 2%. Sadly, 98% of those in the body of Christ with this disease never overcome it and are unaware they even have it. It only affects churchgoers. It only affects those who claim to be Christians. Morbus sabbaticus has never hurt anyone or affected their health in the Hindu, Muslim, or Buddhist religions. It is unknown among atheists, agnostics, secular humanists, socialists, or communists. Only Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night churchgoers are affected by this. It has also appeared on rare occasions on other days when there are special meetings, revival meetings, daily vacation Bible schools, missions conferences, or Bible conferences. Recently, a local church was shocked by a man who recovered from morbus sabbaticus and started attending services Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights. Pastors by the thousands around the world and around the globe heard of this story and began to study his case. Such a recovery is almost unheard of in these days. The former carrier of this contagious disease, and yes, it is contagious, said he overcame it by contemplating Bible verses. This contagious disease is often spread, especially by fathers, to all in their family. He began to list a few of the verses that helped him overcome MBS. One of them was Hebrews 11, chapter 10 and verse 24 and 25. As he read the scriptures, he read these words, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." He also read in John 14, 15, the words of our Lord, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And as he was perusing through the book of Psalms, he read in chapter number 27 and verse number 4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." As he read the next chapter, or the previous chapter, in Psalm 26 and verse number 8, he read these words, "Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth." And then he remembered a verse that his mother taught him when he was a little child, out of Psalm 122 and verse number 1, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." These scriptures alone caused a miraculous recovery in this man of morbus sebaticus. He said he had to forgive past offenses to eradicate the disease completely. Now he goes to sleep early on Saturday evenings and wakes up feeling fine with anticipation as to what God is going to do on Sunday in the Lord's house. It seems in this rare, unusual case of recovery that only a personal revival can overcome morbus sebaticus. One famous case of recovery from MBS was a young man by the name of Jerry Falwell, who as a teen contracted it from his father, who did not go to church. Through the nurturing of his mother, he overcame the example of his father and became a prominent pastor in the United States of America in the 1970s and 80s. Recently, Ben Shutt testified at the Faith Bible Baptist Church of his MBS 15 to 20 years ago, and how through his mom and others who reached out to him and invited him to church and mentored him, he became an overcomer. Now, Ben does not miss anything. His wife Bethany does not miss anything. His children, Silas, Titus, Philip, and Samantha, don't miss anything. Even last week, going to 6 consecutive nights of missions conference. There is victory over morbus sebaticus, and it is in Christ Jesus. This is, of course, a fictitious disease, but it sure does seem real, doesn't it? The people who don't feel well on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, but all the rest of the week, they're pretty good. So I hope you never get it. It seems to come on some people slowly. Some of them are good church attenders, and then they slowly start to contract this disease, and it begins to grow in them and become stronger and stronger, and they miss Sunday school, and they miss Wednesday nights, and then they miss Sunday nights, and then pretty soon they're missing Sunday mornings and only showing up Christmas and Easter. And then sometimes their case is so bad, they don't even come for Christmas and Easter. And so join me in prayer against morbus sebaticus. That could be eradicated from the body of Christ. It's a disease that's been around for almost 2,000 years, as the writer to Hebrews mentions, and such were some of you in his day, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. So I thought I'd end with something lighthearted there, but we talked about health, we talked about rest, we talked about morbus sebaticus, which is more of an attitude, isn't it? And may God help us. Take care of your body. Don't walk around in fear. If you cross paths with fear, maybe it'll be a chance for you to witness to somebody and say, are you afraid of this virus? Yes, why? Well, I don't know, people die of it. What happens if you were to die? Do you know for sure you're going to go to heaven someday, or is it something you have some doubts about? And people have very real fears. But God wants us to be a healthy people. And I want to encourage you to make whatever changes. I'm still changed. I still try to find out things that are wrong with me and say, if there's a solution, what is it? And can I try it? Because part of the great commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy strength. And strength is not something I've always had. I've had health, but not energy, and that's always been an elusive thing I've been trying to find secrets to. And sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not. But with what strength you have physically, we are to love God with that strength. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Try to be as healthy as you can be. And don't be like the world. Watch what you eat, watch what you drink, wash your hands, get good rest. Now, we learned these things in kindergarten, didn't we? Be careful what you do. And then just, that's just a little article I wrote about morbus sebaticus. It really doesn't exist, but it sure seems like it exists. So I'm writing a little booklet on morbus sebaticus and how to overcome it. and what its symptoms are and how it's contagious and affects somebody. Somebody quits coming to church and somebody else is like that sheep. Well, let's follow him. Over the cliff we go. Oh, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and thank you for this evening that we've been able to be in the house of God. And Lord, for this Lord's Day and how we pray, Lord, that we could see souls saved and baptized and added to the church and revival. Lord, help us. And Lord, we do pray for those we know who have Morbus Sabbaticus, Lord, and it's just something that seems to affect Christians. And Lord, that they would get the victory. Get the victory and revival. Lord, that seems to be the cure, a personal revival. Lord God, help us, we pray. Lord, if there's some tonight that need to be saved, we pray tonight by the Holy Ghost, you'd open their hearts. They'd quit trusting in themselves and anything they can do and trust in Christ and what he did on that cross. We pray you'd bless now this evening, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just sing a song in closing.